divorce and all of that. And then her husband didn't love her. And she took all that energy and she began, you see some of the pictures that they were showing a little bit ago. And you could see that she would begin to take the AIDS victims in her arms. How many of you remember that? She would just reach out to people. And the reason she would do that is because she was so hurting. And when we heard of her death, it literally affected the world. Millions of people watched her funeral. And in response to her death, Elton John, her friend, rewrote a song that he had written many years before. And that song was called A Candle in the Wind. Do you remember that song? A candle. It seems to me, and here's the words, I want to quote it to you this morning. It seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind. And you see, that's exactly what the scripture teaches us. I want you to go to James chapter 4, and we're going to look at a scripture this morning. James chapter 4. You don't have to stand because I want you just to read this with me. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. If you're there, would you say amen? It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Verse 14, James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, you do not know what tomorrow holds. For what is your life? It is even a what? A vapor. And I'm not talking about vaping, by the way. Some of you that vape, this is what we're talking about in a sense. Your life is a vapor, just vanishes away. It appears for a little time, and then it's gone. For this is what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. Now go to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. Because what James is telling us really is what Elton John encapsulated in the song on that weekend 22 years ago, is that really your life is like a candle in the wind. You see, what is life? Can we really define life? I mean, somebody said life is like a lightning swift swing of the pendulum of the clock of time. Somebody said that life is like the stay of the postman at the door. Somebody said that life is like a snowflake that falls from the heavens and it shines in its beauty for a moment, touches the raging stream of water and vanishes. Life is like the sparks that fly upward from a bonfire. They flame for a moment and against the night sky they are bright, but then they're extinguished forever. Somebody say the word life. Life. The writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, said that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Read that with me. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And Princess Diana had all of that life, and she had all of the things that we would say that someone should want in life. And she had the beauty, she had the marriage, she had the wedding. But her life was like a candle in the wind. It didn't only happen to Princess Diana. Anybody ever heard of a fellow by the name of Elvis Presley? People loved Elvis Presley. No, let me correct that. People love Elvis Presley. He is still one of the top-selling downloads on Apple iTunes. He is still in the charts. He's been dead for many, many years, since 1977. And he is still producing. He was called the king because to this date, no one has outsold his records. Now, Elvis Presley was born in a two-room house in Tulupo, Mississippi. His mother's name was Gladys. His father's name was Vernon. Who would have thought a man by the name of Vernon and a woman by the name of Gladys in a two-room house in Tupelo, Mississippi would have ever done anything significant? And yet they gave us this man called Elvis Presley. And if he were alive today, he would have been 84 years old. Can you imagine that? He would probably could still be alive if he took care of himself. He had the money. He had the women. He had the fleet of cars. He had a blue car, black car. Red. He just didn't have cars. He had different colors of cars. He bought Graceland. Has anybody ever been to Graceland? Raise your hand if you want to admit it. I and Darnell visited Graceland. By the way, it's amazing to me that Elvis Presley's home was called Graceland. Because this young man Elvis was raised in the Assembly of God Church. Some people don't realize that he began his career not singing about the jailhouse and not singing about, what is it? You ain't nothing but a hound dog. I'm trying to remember here. He didn't start singing about hound dogs. He started singing about the cross and about Jesus and about the Lord. But he took a path that, yes, he catapulted to fame, but in Graceland, where he could have received the grace and the mercy of God. And had he ever really experienced it, his music and his songs would have been so different. But at the age of 42, on August the 16th, 1977, in Graceland, in Memphis, Tennessee, he was found on the floor in his bathroom. At the press conference following his death, by the way, his death is very controversial. I know I saw him the other day at Best Buy. I know he's still alive. Where? Have you seen him? I tell you what, I know where he'd be right after this service. He'd be over at Amy Jones's where I'm headed. Amen. I know he would eat there. But by the way, Jesus is the only one alive that was dead. Amen. Elvis is in the grave. But at press conference following his death, one of the medical examiners declared, listen to this, he died of a heart attack. Why? It was spurred on because of a large amount of drugs. This man who had everything that money could buy, dozens of cars, all the clothes, fame, houses, he had his own airplane. He died of a drug overdose. Why in the world was he even taking drugs? Why? Was he not happy? I thought all these things make you happy. Evidently not. Evidently not. People tell me if they had all the money that everything would be all right. And money buys you happiness. Now, let me tell you, it won't buy you happiness. Rockefeller said, I have made many millions, but they have brought me no happiness. Vanderbilt, the care of $200 million is enough to kill anyone. There's no pleasure in it. John Jacob Astor said, I am the most miserable. And by the way, Brother Elam knew John Jacob Astor. I am the most miserable man. He died in 1912. Okay. He said, I'm the most miserable man on earth. Henry Ford, my man Ford. I love a Ford. I'm a Ford man. I'm not going to have a car if it's not a Ford. That I can't afford. All right. How about that? Henry Ford said, I was happier when I did a mechanic's job. Andrew Carnegie said, millionaires seldom smile. Now, you say, oh, Brother Rick, if I can just win the North Carolina education lottery, oh, it'll help the schools. All that lottery money is going to go into the classrooms and computers and raises and all. Let me educate you about the education lottery. In fact, a man one time, in April the 28th, 1997, the same year that Princess Diana died, lottery millionaire Michael Allen is bludgeoned to death in a motel room. In May the 22nd, 1999, Billy Bob Harrell commits suicide. He had won the $31 million in the Texas State Lottery, having spent $10 million prize in just 7 years in a lottery in America, a certain man hangs himself by the name of Gerald Muswagen. Let me tell you, money can buy you a bed, but it cannot buy you rest. Money can give you a piece of the action, but it can't give you peace of mind. Money can buy you a house, but it cannot buy you a home. I may not have a dollar to my name, but I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he is able to keep that. I may not have luxury, but I have liberty. For whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I may not be a millionaire, but I got a mansion somewhere over the hill. Well, somebody ought to praise him that you've got something money can't buy. And Elvis Presley, his life. Was like candle in the wind. And he's not the only one. There's so many others I could talk about. John F. Kennedy. I went to his grave just a few days ago in Arlington National Cemetery. And it was just an amazing sight to see the candle is still burning. The flame is burning, but he's gone. John F. Kennedy, who had everything. He had everything. I mean, his family was unbelievably wealthy. The Kennedys, old money, and just they had never a need for money. Fame, and not only money, but they had power. He became the most powerful man in the world. His brother became attorney general, and he was the youngest man to be elected the presidency of the United States. And not only that, he was one of the greatest artists. He truly was. Although it pains me to say, he truly was a great president. Too bad he wasn't part of a different party. I'm going to get in trouble. I can feel it already. But listen, he said these words: "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." And I think we ought to plaster that on the wall that President Trump is building. That's all I'm going to say. And I got into politics. Please forgive me. And everybody said, "Amen. Help him, Jesus." He said, if we're in the final analysis, our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all, listen, he said, we all cherish our children's futures, and we are all mortal. We are the soul of man is the candle of the Lord. We are all mortal, and November the 22nd, at the height of his presidency and the glamour, and his wife, the first lady, and took a trek in Dallas, Texas, and went down, and I have stood in the book depository and looked out the window. I've walked across Dealey Plaza and stood not only in the bookstore, but I've stood there to where the car was, and President John F. Kennedy, on that day, his life was like a candle in the wind. But not only Kennedy Sr., Kennedy Jr. Now, you people under 40 may not remember his son. His son in 1988 was voted on People magazine the most handsome man alive in 1988. Now, Brother Elam was voted that in 1987. See, I'm getting back good with Brother Elam. Amen. He had everything. John F. Kennedy Jr. I wish I had the pictures up here. I just didn't have time to pull them together for you. John F. Kennedy Jr. He was a great guy. Everybody liked him. He was liked by Republicans and Democrats. He was a rising star. They even talked about maybe he might be a candidate. He really didn't want to get into politics. He had a magazine, and he had a beautiful bride, July the 16th, 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. and his wife and her sister, got into a plane, but sometime during the flight, the fog descended, and he couldn't see anything. So he began to get, when you get in total black and you're looking, your mind begins to get disoriented, and so at that particular time, you have to read the instruments on your plane if you're a good pilot, because your mind may telling you you're going down, but you may not really be going down. In other words, he felt like he was going this way, but his instruments were showing he was going that way. And he made a very, very, very crucial decision. He decided that I'm going to trust my feelings over the gauges. And when he trusted his feelings over the gauges, he took the plane straight down. He wasn't shot down. It wasn't a mechanical failure. It was just someone who said, I feel like this is the way we should go. And I'm looking across this congregation this morning, and I talk with people every day. Why don't you serve the Lord? Why don't you forgive? Why don't you do something in the church? And here's a lot of times the responses I get. I don't feel like it. Or somebody hurt me and I don't feel like being hurt again. Or I don't feel. My friend, I talk with people whose marriages has been destroyed. And what happened? Well, I cheated on my spouse. Why did you cheat on my spouse? Because it felt good at the time. Friend, we cannot go by feelings. We must go by the gauges. We must go by what the gauge of the word of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery is for your good and for the good of our country. And everybody said amen. Oh, let me tell you, we go by the gauge of the Holy Ghost and by the conscience that he has given us. We don't go by feelings. We walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, when you feel like you want to have an affair, look at the gauge. When you feel like doing drugs, look at the gauge. When you feel like not going to church, look at the gauge. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves. Don't go by how you feel. Go by the gauge. And you'll get to the other side. And so many people have crashed, and the results have been deadly. And his uncle, Senator Ted Kennedy, did the eulogy of his nephew, and he made a very interesting statement. He said that John Kennedy Jr. was blessed with so much, but length of days. His life was like a candle in the wind. Let me get on to more some Wilson, North Carolina folk, okay? Let's talk about NASCAR for a minute. I mean, this is more our territory, okay? And again, this is going back a few years. Dale Earnhardt, the Intimidator. I wore my black suit today just in honor of the man in black. Come on now. He, at the time of his death, Dale Earnhardt had over $40 million in winnings. He had 7 NASCAR Winston Cup championship, and I know this is hurting some of you for me to read this because you weren't his fan, but I know some of you are loving this and remembering. He was called the driver of the decade in the 90s. He was the only driver to win a race in 4 different decades. I didn't even know that. He won a major race in 4 different decades. He raced 676 times over 27 years. But I read something the other day that just before he died, he told the press in an interview, he made this quote. He said, quote, "The best is yet to come. I still have a championship to win." This is just before he died. Let me quote it again. He said, just before he died, he said, "The best is yet to come. I still have a chance." Can you put up James chapter 4 again for me? James chapter 4 and verse 13, and just give me a thumbs up when you have it. He said, "The best is yet to come. I still have a championship to win." What did James tell us? "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll do such and such. Continue there a year, buy, sell, and gain." Go to verse 14. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." He was saying, "I'm going to win. Best is yet to come." But the Bible tells us that it's okay to plan for the future. It's okay to have goals and dreams. But along with that, you better factor in that we don't know what tomorrow holds. And so we better know today that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And we don't know when that candle is going to be extinguished. And so if I live, I live. But if I die, I still live. Because my candle is burning for Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Is your candle burning for Jesus? And on Daytona 500, on February the 18th, 2001, I never will forget that day. February the 18th, 2001, at the last lap, at the last turn of the last lap, corner 1, 2, 3, and rounding for the home stretch and the checkered flag, his car wobbles, hits the side, falls back, and the man from NASCAR made those famous words, "We've lost Dale Earnhardt." His life was like a candle in the wind. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 says this, says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruit." This is a man in retirement. "And I will say to my soul," are we at verse 19? "I will say to my soul, soul, you have laid up much goods for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry." Not one word about church, not one word about God, not one word about eternity, not one word about witnessing or getting others saved. Verse 20, "But God said to him, you're foolish this night. You are the candle, and that candle is going to go out. And who's going to be for all that you've provided?" Oh, my friend, I know we're not running the aisles. I know this is Labor Day weekend. I know the beach is calling. But please understand that we need to think about our eternity. We need to think about our soul. We need to think about the candle of the Lord. And this man was in retirement, and he deserved the time off, and he deserved to build things. But what will happen when the time comes? The question is not what is your life. The question is whose is your life? I'm going to say that again. The question is not what is your life. Your life does not consist of money in the bank, buildings, material. Your life does not consist in fame or fortune. It's not what is your life. It is whose is your life. Who does your soul belong to? The man said in this parable, I will say to my soul. Did you see that? Go back. Go back to verse number 19. Go back to verse 19. Luke chapter 12, verse 19. Then I will say to what? I will say to my soul. And I tell you something. Are you still talking like that? Are you still saying it's my soul? Oh, my friend, let me tell you something. It ain't my soul. My soul belongs to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Is it his soul? If it is, give him praise for it this morning. It belongs to Jesus. It belongs to Jesus. Timothy McVeigh, the man responsible for the Oklahoma City bombing, before he was executed, he left this statement, quoting Invictus, the poem, 19th century poem. He left these words as he was about to be executed. Timothy McVeigh said, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Well, you can just captain your soul right on to eternity without Christ. Is that how you feel? That you're the captain? You're in charge? Let one stroke hit you. Let one disease hit you. Let one car accident hit you. Let one event on that night in 1997. And you can see the pictures of Princess Diana and her boyfriend Dodie as they were getting ready to go. They had no idea they were about to step into eternity. I'm going to close with just a couple more here because I got two more candles left. But this is a positive one. How many of you remember in 1999, Columbine High School? Does that ring a bell to you? It's like there's so many school shootings now. But that was like one of the very first that I remember. Columbine High School, where two gunmen went into the school and they just began to shoot and kill. And they, when the reports were done, it come to find out they were especially targeting Christians. And that's not something made up. They wanted to target those who said they were Christians. And so they came to a young lady by the name of Rachel Scott. Rachel Scott. You can Google her. She's got a Facebook page, but a website. Rachel Scott. Rachel Scott was just 17 years old. She was a devoted Christian. And unfortunately, she ran into the gun sights of those two troubled young people. And just at 17 years of age, her candle was about to go out. But before that happened, and after she died, they read her journal. And her journal entry just a few days before read this, and I'll read it to you. But you know what? It's all worth it to me. I'm not going to... Listen to this. She wrote this a few days before she died. She said, I'm not going to apologize for speaking the name of Jesus. I'm not going to justify my faith to them. I'm not going to hide the light that God has put into me. If I have to sacrifice everything, I will take it. If my friends have become my enemies for me to be with my best friend Jesus, then that's fine with me. And her life was like a candle in the wind. But she had her eyes on the Lord, and she knew Jesus. And for her, when her candle went out, it was no more pain, no more sorrow, and she met her best friend, Jesus. I wish somebody would give the Lord praise that there is hope beyond the grave. Brother Clark, if you'll come on up and get ready to play, and I'm going to do the miraculous. I'm going to let everybody out early today. I got one candle left, don't I? One candle left. Who's this for? Who's this for, you think? Turn around and tell somebody it's for you. Now take your finger and point right here to you. It's for me. Look how fragile that candle is. I mean, it's like it wouldn't take nothing really just to put it out. And that's really like life, isn't it? That's how fragile life is. One moment. What is life? So I want to ask you this morning, where do you stand? Where do you stand with the Lord? When your candle goes out, and it will today, tomorrow, 50 years from today, we hope a long time, where are you going to be? Would you bow your heads this morning? Now, Father, we thank you. We thank you for amazing grace. We thank you for hope beyond the grave. And I just pray, Lord, that everyone in this room this morning will ask this question. Is my soul ready to meet the Lord? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. He loves you. Don't put it off for another day. Don't wait until a more convenient season. Your soul is like the candle in the wind. Ask Him into your heart now. Give your days to Jesus now. There's peace and forgiveness. And you may say, well, I'm a good person. But it's not all about being a good person. Are you really recognizing that you are a sinner? That I am a sinner? We have all broken His commandments. You have broken His commandments. I have broken His commandments. I'm not worthy of anything but judgment. But God in His grace said, I'll forgive you if you ask. Surrender your life to Him. Come to the altar and fling before Him and thank Him for His unmerited love for you. Candle in the wind. I want to ask you this morning, if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, would you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. Anybody, anybody, anybody? Those of you that have already received Jesus as your Savior, slip up your hand and say, I know I belong to Jesus, that it's not my soul, it's His soul. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you stand with me? Let's sing a little bit this morning. Amen.
Because it is,
I can face
tomorrow.
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord.
Because it is,
all fear is gone.
All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
One more time, because He lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know.
Do you know? Do you know?
Life is worth the living just because.
Let me tell you,
He lives.
I was talking to a couple of men just this week, and one of them said that about a few years ago they were diagnosed with cancer, lymphoma, and he was telling me about how he came to grips that he would die. He said, and I knew I'd probably die, and I just settled it in my heart. I was going to die. And I was talking to another man standing right beside him who got shot with a gun in the middle of the night. And he said, I just figured I would die, and so I made peace with the fact that I'd die. And so I asked him, I said, you made peace with the fact that you were going to die, but did you think about where you would be after you die? And they just kind of looked at me. Well, the other one said, well, you know, I'm a good person. I said, let me tell you something. You're hanging your never-ending eternity on the fact that you're a good person. Well, I feel like I'll be okay. I said, let me tell you this. Jesus Christ came to earth. He died. He was whipped. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They spit upon him. He went to the cross. He didn't go through all that so you can think maybe you got a chance. He died so that we can know that when we face death, that we will be with him. To be absent from the body is to be present. And if you don't have that hope, and if you don't know that you know, if you're kind of thinking so, or maybe I'm a good person, so no, you need to get saved. And you need to give your life to Jesus. Why don't you somebody praise him? Because we live. Come on, lift your hands and praise him for the hope that we have. Oh, yes.
Because he lives.
All fear is gone. Do you want to know Jesus? Turn from your sins. Ask him into your heart.
Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
One more time, give him a hand of praise. Tell three people, you are blessed and highly favored of God. Happy Labor Day. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock for service. Ask somebody, do you know Jesus before you leave? God bless you. Thank you.